tells us to commence with hymn 1036. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries, my soul where canst thou find supplies, but in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. 1036.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God, let us read in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25. In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, margin, our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went, and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came, and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let us pray. O thou most holy and eternal God, the ever-living God, We bow before thee, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one almighty God of love. Hallowed be thy great name. Do receive us graciously as we now seek to draw near. Help one to lead in prayer, and may the living pray also from their hearts. There may be that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace as we bow our heads together and call upon thee unitedly. Oh, we need thee, Lord. Oh, we need thy great forgiveness. Oh, we do need thee to truly wash away all our filth and all our stains. And how we need thee also to subdue our very sins and corruptions that seem to rise so much. Often, Lord, our conscience is defiled by those things that proceed out of the heart. For, Lord, in thy own teaching thou dost say it's those things that defile a man. And, O Lord, we do pray for thy keeping grace. May we pray to thee in poetry as we like the hymn, Do thou my sin subdue, thy sovereign love make known, the spirit of my mind subdue, and save me in thy Son. Oh, we pray that we may not appear naked at last, but clothed in that blessed garment. Oh, Lord, that true garment of righteousness, from head to feet, may we be not only washed inside and out, but covered, clothed in that beautiful garment. Oh, may we know thee as the Lord our righteousness. Do feed us today. Thou knowest our vast need. May there be a word in season, some word of grace, some word of correction, some word of sweet instruction in righteousness. Unworthy as we are, some word of comfort in covenant love and grace to our hearts, though we don't deserve such favours. Lord, we pray then that thy name may be felt to be precious, thy person real, and very near to us. And may thy name be as ointment poured forth among us. May we know what it is for our hearts to rejoice, living gospel hope, while we walk in the wilderness of this world. For, Lord, it is a dried up place, and so many dangers, and we're so weak and helpless and vulnerable and exposed to every evil. Oh, we pray thou'lt be a wall of fire round about us, and the glory in the midst. Oh, may we see thy good hand, Lord, going before us every step of the journey. How we need thee. Lord, be our everlasting light and our guide. Oh, we've so many different crooked things. Lord, as we get older, we find so many more crooked things in the journey. And often we faint at these things. We seem ready to halt and to turn back, wondering which way to go. But may we perhaps to say with Peter, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and assure that that Christ, the Son of the living God, go before us. Oh, make those crooked things straight, Lord. Those rough places play inside our souls, in the evil temptations, in the malignity and the howling of the enemy upon us, Lord. And all those crooked lots in our providence, Lord, bodies of sin and death. Oh, so many difficulties and mountains, so many tumultuous waves, Lord. Oh, how there seems a current against us. Oh, how the enemy is set to destroy us. And how, Lord, we live to prove that we are no match to the enemy of souls. And neither can we overcome the difficulties that we find in the earth, Lord, around us. Though we do believe this, Lord, in the narrow way itself, the enemy is not. And though the lions roar, and though the waves blur, yet all in looking unto Jesus, oh, we find a peace be still. And grant that the many waters that we are engaged in, oh, may we each by precious faith be helped still to look to thy holy mountain. Oh, how Jonah said at the bottom of the sea, salvation is of the Lord. So may we be helped and encouraged from thy word today to wait upon the Lord. Oh, may we know what it is to renew our strength, to mount up with wings as eagles, to continue to run in this race, and to walk and not faint. Do help us then. Thou knowest our need, pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel. Bless us then as we journey on. Make us wise to number our days, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Take us in hand. Don't leave us to ourselves, but bring us to dwell under thy shadow forever, and be better than all our fears, and be our bright and morning star. Ah, Lord, if we know thee as our bright and morning star, then surely there'll be a peculiar delight in thy very eternal being, and as the Son of Man also, God with us, the root and the offspring of David. Oh, what a prince thou art. Oh, may we taste something of thy spices. Oh, may we smell a goodly smell, even as, oh, thou didst smell, thou art that blessed God, the sacrifice of Noah, and made a covenant with the earth. And as we saw the beautiful rainbow this morning, oh, Lord, remind of that rainbow round thy throne. Oh, the Noahic covenant is for time, but thou hast made a covenant unto a glorious eternity. Oh, then do feed us with gospel crumbs. Loose prisoners, say to them that are of a fearful heart, fear not, remove burdens, forgive sins, give gospel light. Oh, we pray that thou break the snares and bands of death that seem to so often tie us down. Oh, save us from our unbelief. Lord, we pray like one in thy word. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. So, Lord, be with us here. Oh, we pray for the Holy Spirit to be here on this Lord's day. Make the ministry a living ministry, a ministry of the Spirit. Oh, may there be that fresh dew and unction anointing from above. And may the poor of the flock feed. May things be done, not just for time, but for eternity. A godly friend prays in Kent, an old man now, and often says in public prayer, we're not born for time, we're born for eternity. Oh, we need thee to prepare us. We need thee to be with us, Lord. Come and do us good. And as the heartache, oh, to hear the cries of the poor and needy among us. So we pray for the peace and prosperity of this church and congregation. Break often to them the bread of life. Oh, do gather poor sinners into glory from among this people. And oh, do pour out thy Spirit upon them. And oh, we pray that thy people may be favoured here to know much of thy presence and to see thy work appear. So bless them and gather unto them such as shall be saved. Bless our dear friends in office. Give them much wisdom, much grace, much understanding, much patience, much godly fear. Give them discernment and give them, Lord, that true meekness, a humble and quiet spirit. They may wait upon the Lord continually. May the friends uphold them in prayer. May this people be kept to the truth as it is in Jesus. Remember the dear friends at home. Grant us thy spirit there and thy blessing there this day. Bless the sermon read. Help thy dear servant engage this evening. Bless each precious soul, young and old. Oh, remember Zion, we pray for all thy dear servants and all thy dear people. Ah, the twos and threes that gather. Oh, we pray for the peace and prosperity of the Church of God in this apostate age. Hear our cries for the nation. Spare the guilty realm. We're overwhelmed in iniquity. We thank you overthrowing the evil designs of the government in the past week. And yet they'll try again. Oh, Lord. Oh, overturn. We wouldn't get involved in the daily politics for all men alliance. But we have a particularly evil government. Oh, would it be wrong to cry, Lord? Overturn them. Overturn them, can it please thee? Yet do raise up faithful men in high places. But Lord, the only real answer to the rise of Antichrist is the gospel. Thy word to show our day. And therefore we do well to seek to hide in thee forever. With such calamities coming upon the earth in this modern global age. But may we be helped, Lord, to hold fast and continue. And help us to overcome, to stand every storm and live at last. Oh, may we be found hidden in that day, for it shall be well to endure persecution. And even, Lord, as it were, to be faithful unto death, if thou dost so require it. Oh, arise, but the real answer is the gospel. Oh, could it please thee yet, hear our cries, to pour out thy spirit, once again upon all flesh, raise up faithful men to go out into the streets and to declare unto the nation its true state and position, to warn every man, to set forth the glories of Emmanuel, that God is love, there's a judgment to come, and oh, that thou by no means clear the guilty. Arise for our help in these solemn times, and revive thy work in thy little remnant in the earth, save us from a form. Hear our cries. Remember the nations of the earth, Lord, are there as a drop of a bucket. And the Antichrist has many faces, many doctrines, many religions, and much skill and much power. But thou art the Almighty, the fountain of wisdom, thou art the Saviour of the world. May we, poor sons of men, be taught and led of thy Spirit to put our trust in thee, to be found with that oil in our lamps, waiting for our Lord's coming. Oh, we thank thee for thy mercies. We thank thee for the harvest, the seasons, the goodly rains, the sunshine. We tremble before thee as we consider the storms, thy power, and yet thou hast worked all things for good. Thou art faithful that promised, and we thank thee for thy personal mercies. Our cup runs over. Oh, for a calm and thankful heart, for every murmur free, and sanctify our trials to us, our sorrows to us, for overwhelming griefs. Remember then all friends here, those in age and weakness, evening time of life, friends with many heavy responsibilities in business and duties, mothers and housewives in the home life, the married, the unmarried, each with their various needs. Dear young friends, all give them eternal life and the fear of God before their eyes. Write thy laws within them. Keep them from the spirit of the age, especially those in student life, where there is much loftiness and pride in learning. Give them the tender fear of the Lord. May they, in all their studies, fear thee and seek to know the truth of thee as they learn the earthly wisdom. Oh, bless our young Lord. Oh, pass by them and say, live, and they shall live. Let alone is effectual that call by grace. Remember the dear little ones who we love to see and hear in Zion? Oh, bless them. Look so sweet while they're young and tender, Lord, with their lovely faces. Yet they grow up like us, sinners bad and sinners vile. But save them, sanctify them, put thy fear within their hearts. For, Lord, at the end of their days, and they'll soon pass through their days, oh, they shall enter into a long eternity. Oh, hear the cries of parents and grandparents for the dear little ones, that each may be bound up in the bundle of life. Remember, dear friends, unable to be here, or those in weakness of age, and those in the fiery trials of affliction, the waters of affliction. We thank thee for thy mercies where there has been some measure of strengthening and healing. And oh, do pray, Lord, in thy tender mercy, according to thy goodwill, that favour with full healing, restoring mercies in many cases. And where there is a coming down, especially our older friends, oh, may they be well prepared. Oh, we look to thee for help now. We're only poor men. We brought nothing into the world, Lord. We shall take nothing out. Help this poor man to preach, loose a stammerous tongue. May there be an authority with the word, not human authority, but the authority of the Spirit. Oh, may there be that power with thy word. And so loose a stammerous tongue. May there be some prophet from the gospel that is preached here this day. May be a preaching of the Spirit, a ministry of the Spirit, we pray. So come and do us good. We're so helpless. Pardon, Lord, our black sins. Our life seems nothing but a blot and a failure. Yet we can trace out nothing but tender kindness, love and mercy. Oh, thou art a good God. May we know thee and know thee more. And may we know what it is, Lord, to eat thy flesh and drink thy blood. So come and do us good and break to us the bread of life. We plead thy all-prevailing name. Pardon of our mighty sins. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake.
956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. O, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. 956.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, and the first two verses. Matthew, chapter 25, and the first two verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Matthew 25, verses 1 and 2. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. I realize this is a somewhat solemn word to come with this morning, but I must obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord Jesus is infallible in his teaching. And remember that his word shall not return unto him void, but shall accomplish the thing whereto he is pleased to send it. And not one jot or tittle, we read, of the law shall pass till all be fulfilled, and neither shall one jot or tittle of the divine glories of Emmanuel ever fail, or the truth that the Word of God shows of him and concerning him. And therefore this is a pure word, and the purpose of the teaching is that his people may be searched out and comforted, and that they, as his servants, might be warned. As the psalmist himself prays in Psalm 19, that he says that thy servant may be warned. Oh, real religion is a vital matter. Religion is no plaything, not a light matter to make a profession of Christ. Well, the Lord here, now observe this firstly, says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins. He didn't say the religious world, but the kingdom of heaven. Notice the strength of the word there. You see, the kingdom of heaven, now we think of the kingdom of heaven as being those blood-washed souls. But here the Lord is implying something very solemn. And that really is this. There are those that appear to be among the sons of God, but they do not know the Lord Jesus. And therefore we may see from the teaching of the 3 parables in this chapter, that day will come when he will say, I never knew you. As we read here in verse 12, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. You know the Lord, he knows his people. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he gives unto them eternal life, and none shall pluck them out of his hand, he tells us in John 10, and I think in the following verse, out of his Father's hand. And therefore in all religion that is of the Holy Ghost, there's a beginning, and that is the new birth being brought born from above. This will bring us into an exercise, and that exercise is found in the Word of God, in the breathings, confessions, cryings, longings, convictions, searchings out, emptyings. Ah, my friends, in the corrections, the humblings, the chastenings, and the feedings and the waterings, the blessings, the receiving of promises, the waiting upon God, and the bringing forth fruit unto eternal life, being rooted and grounded in the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Then shall the kingdom of heaven. We would naturally think that the kingdom of heaven, and of course in its first and foremost meaning, would mean, of course, the elect. But here the Lord is including many professors. I don't want to merely use catchphrases, but they can be helpful, as they may stay in our mind, and may they not just stay in the intellect, but the Holy Ghost apply. Yes, the kingdom of heaven here includes all professors. But in the term kingdom of heaven, the Lord also intends to include in his parable, for our teaching, yes, those who are not possessors. So, my friends, may we not be left to be a professor and not a possessor. Oh, there is a secret fear of the Lord in all the elect. Jacob, though he indeed I speak very carefully and tenderly, his blood washed souls in glory. But he was a liar. He was a supplanter, poor man. He was a sinner, like you and I, a rotten sinner, but love with an everlasting love. Now he possessed a secret. He was given eternal life. And that's so vital for us each, to be given eternal life. Now by that the mere doctrine of the new birth, it makes immediate demarcation. And it implies, strictly from the Word of God, that we are lost and helpless. The prophet warns against sparks of our own kindling in Isaiah. Oh, my friends, he does solemnly warn and say, those that walk in the light of their own fire, in the sparks that they have kindled, this shall ye have of my hand, God's hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Well, Lord, help me as a poor sinner trying to preach among you this morning to rightly divide the word. So you see, he says, five were wise and five were foolish. Really, the Lord helping me, I'd like to speak of the exercise of the wise with a prayerful desire, and may it be a gracious intent in my poor soul, knowing the terrors of the Lord in my own soul, and knowing that there is an everlasting burnings, a judgment to come, that all those who indeed are foolish at the present time may be graciously warned by Almighty God. The beginning of all real religion is from God. The first promise came from God when our first parents were in nakedness and they knew they died. But God in his mercy made promise of a sacred remedy, and this will be the great exercise of the wise virgins, to be found in him. Not having on their own righteousness, but that righteousness which is by faith. In pondering these parables, I thought of the man with one talent. You know what that is, don't you? It's religion in the intellect, isn't it? It may be Protestant, may be G.S. Strict Baptist. Or it may be Reformed. It may indeed, a man may argue over the Word of God and make points in religion and divide correctly the doctrine, and yet not possess a cry in his heart, not know a desperate need to win Christ. A prime example of a godly man running a race and desperate to win the crown is the Apostle Paul. I suppose among the sons of men he is one of the most favoured, like Elijah or Moses or John the Baptist. The Apostle Paul, who was caught up to the third heavens and looked right into glory and spoke those things, or rather saw things he was not allowed to speak or write of. Such was the blessedness of that place. It would not be good for the church to truly have openly described to them as yet, though it will be unfolded to them at last as they enter in. But the church must view things by faith, and while we're in the humiliation of the knowledge of our sinnership, while we have a body of death, while we have a sinful nature with the lusts of the flesh and the pride of life and all manner of wickedness within us, it would not be good, as it were, to settle down on our ease. But we're under a divine commandment to run in that race that is set before us. So the apostle, you see, though so favoured, he didn't sit back as a sparkling Christian with plenty of empty talk, my friends, and notions in his head. He reached forth. He reached forth. Oh, he knew his need of clothing at last, to endure unto the end. Here we come to the exercise of the wise. Oh, they need the Lord. And it's quite amazing, really, as we journey on in this race, how much more we need the Lord. I believe the Lord deepens his work of grace in the heart. In deepening the work of grace in our heart, we're made to feel more of the plague and our frailty and mortality is made a greater reality to us in the way he leads us in providence and the storms that he raises up in our lives as poor men mount up to the heavens and go down again to the depths, and their soul is melted because of trouble. Oh, look into the Psalms, and there we see the cry of a man after God's own heart. Oh, many songs of praise in those Psalms, many breathings after God, and much declaring in humble prayer and song, something of the Lord's everlasting strength was a reality to him. But also, again, equally, and notice equally, so many cries for help, so much confession of sin, so many cries for forgiveness, for the Lord's deliverance, for the Lord's help. See, these are the wise that need God. A wise man doesn't say, oh, I'm a believer and a Christian. A wise man says, I need the Lord to prepare me for my end. I need forgiveness. When the Lord blesses him, he doesn't deny the Lord's blessing. He has secrets given to him and a blessed hope raised up. He's given light and he reaches forth unto that light that he may win the crown. Obtain the prize. And what is it? To win eternal life by faith. So you see the difference between this professing church, this professing Christian church, was something in the soul, the spirit of man. It was something within. You see, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. So here is an inclusion of many people, and some were wise and some were foolish. Now we read concerning the foolish, they took their lamps, but no oil. But the wise, you see, took oil in their vessels. And as we consider this oil, I want to just mention before we come to it properly, notice their profession in the parable. They all profess the same. You notice this. And went forth to meet the bridegroom. They all hope they'll get to heaven. They're all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they all, as it were, kept to the word of God and expected something at the end. The 10 in their profession went forth to meet the bridegroom. Oh, they may have spoken of sin and of, indeed, a judgment. They may have spoken of sin by the light of a natural conscience. That's different to the light of the Spirit, you know. No, this is an hard saying, and who can hear it? I speak very tenderly and carefully. How different it is when a man is so searched out by the eyes of him as a flame of fire. All he can do is to fall down and cry for mercy and ask for pardon if it could please his great majesty, until light comes concerning the glorious person of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ, until the word comes with power and the life in his soul comes with power. You see, friends, it's a mere struggling in the dark. See, there's power in real religion, in Holy Ghost religion. There's a real turning about and a complete change. You see, old things pass away. The darkness passes away. That is the night of nature. And the Lord Jesus begins to be a believer, a sinner's everlasting light. And therefore, he becomes hungry, thirsty, poor, needy, helpless. He knows himself a ruined man, and he wants God. So you see, there is a profession. God alone actually knows the standing of every one of us. I'm not able to judge, the Lord forbid. Clearly, as a visiting minister, no doubt the other visiting ministers that are men of the Spirit would be able to discern some who truly are wise virgins in a congregation, and a man that has the fear of the Lord with the Spirit of God with him will be able to discern in some cases where there are foolish virgins. But generally speaking, we are not able to judge very much, and we're not to judge and make unrighteous judgment here. But may we believe that divine grace is able to save unto the uttermost. And that's the purpose of the ministry, that men may begin to fear the Lord and that sinners might be saved under the sovereign mighty hand of God. Now the Lord knows all secrets. So let us come to something of the exercise of those with oil in our lamps. They have the light of the truth in them. And that truth casts a very black, dark, long shadow over the whole of their life. They begin to perceive, yes, just where they really are in the sight of God. And oh, how a distressed cry is kindled in the heart. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. But why a shadow? Because there's light. Shine a torch in a dark wood at midnight with no moonlight. and you see all the shadows behind the trees. And this is just what the light of the truth does. It finds out our sin. It finds us as a child of pride. It finds us out as an unbeliever. It finds us out as an infidel. Oh, a murderer by nature, an adulterer by nature, covetous, proud, imperious, self-willed, stubborn. Oh, my friends, it finds out indeed that we're lovers of the world and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and we're not prepared to take up our cross and be a mean and lowly believer and a humble follower of the Lord. You know, as the prophet says, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. Now, the man without the oil in his vessel is not killed all the day long. But, you know, these things are known by the pruning and the humbling and the correction. Well, I want to come, the Lord have me, particularly oil, and I'm struggling to get to it. The Lord help me. This is the oil of grace in the foolish. It is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that makes such a difference. Oh, the old folks at Maidstone used to pray this. They used to ask for a Holy Ghost religion. It may sound a strong prayer or a strong statement, but I believe they cried from their heart. They didn't want to be left to themselves. If you have the oil of grace in your heart, my friend, the Holy Spirit being with you, you do not want to be left to yourself. And how you want God. And it's a life. Not just a hunger and thirst for a few months until you've been blessed and saved, and then we walk in all the spark of our own kindling, in satisfaction and at peace with self. By the very beginning of that new birth, there's a longing to be found in him and to be ready for the kingdom of God. And you see, by the light of that truth, our eyes are divinely directed in one blessed direction. And that is to him who fills his Father's throne. Because faith begins to see in him a full store for one naked and poor and blind and miserable. And also a man with oil in his lamp, in his vessel, you know. The Lord enters us from vessel to vessel, doesn't he? He's not left to be at ease and be stagnant. Oh, my dear friends, the wine has to be well refined, that all the lees or the grouts or the yeast, as it were, is siphoned off or left at the bottom, and the pure wine, as it were, filtered through, poured out very carefully, very delicately. And this is the work of God in the heart. Oh, we're not left to settle down on yesterday's blessing, on the mercies of yesterday, and sleep on them. But rather they are food for our soul to continue in the journey to wrestle on. This is well illustrated, now that you've heard me say this before, concerning the manna. And no doubt you've heard it many times from the Lord's servants. You see how there were those Israelites, they disobeyed. Really, it was unbelief. The Lord said there'll be a supply the next day. And they didn't believe it, so they kept some over, just in case. Just in case. The doubting spirit. And they kept it over the next day. But it was no good for them the next day. It had gone rotten. It bred worms and stank. It had putrefied. And the Lord, you know, my dear friends, Oh, his work, it doesn't end in a stagnant pool. My friends, it is living waters, pure waters. I believe where there is oil in the vessel, I believe there's a freshness and an exercise and a desire. And you say, where do we get to without the stormy wind and the waves? Now, I do realise my weakness here. And I'm sure some of you realise your weakness. All those waves, those storms, if only there weren't any. Oh, how much more we would be able to believe and trust, wouldn't we? Oh, how much more fruitful we would be. If only there weren't these storms and these terrible diseases and these fiery trials and these evil men and the powers of darkness and if I hadn't got such an unbelieving heart, then surely I'd be at much more peace with myself. There is the stagnancy, the peace with ourselves. Self-confidence. Bunyan calls it vain confidence. I think I'm right in saying this, if I get the names right. Ignorance, you know. He crossed death by a ferryman with the name Vain Confidence. You've got a confidence in God, but it was vain. Why? Because he didn't come in at the wicket gate. Friends, he had no oil in his vessel. He was ignorant of God, ignorant of his own state as a man in the sight of God. Ignorant. But full of religion. See, my friends, and if you and I were left to have all that heart could wish for, naturally you desire peace and prosperity here at Swaves. I'm sure you do. I desire it at Maidstone. And I'm sure we desire it in Zion. But my dear friends, when all goes peace and is prosperous for a time, oh, the sleepiness and the carelessness and the self-confidence and the carnal rejoicings. Oh, the easy talk in religion. Ah, my friends, you see, the Lord does a strange work. He tries the faith of his people. Oh, he brings affliction upon our loins. He leads us, as the prophet, or rather the psalmist says, we go through flood. Through water. He causes men to ride over our head. But he does bring his people into a wealthy place, you see. They're brought to the feet of him who they so much need. Where would some of you have been without those fiery trials? I look back, I do speak tremblingly because I've got such a coward flesh. I can't seem to bear any trouble these days. But you know, I believe in some of those bitter places had my sweetest blessings. And you know, that's a religion that we'd try and escape if we could. But you mark this, and may we tremble before the Lord. It is a mercy, he knows your frame, he knows mine. He remembers that we're dust. Since Psalm 78, he knew that they were a wind that passeth away. They're utterly helpless. He knows we're like that. But friends, we're made to realise that's what we are like. And we're brought to know our own frame and remember that we ourselves are dust. We're so dependent upon his goodwill. But he's very merciful and very gracious. He doesn't lay on his people more than they can bear. But you see, left to ourselves, we'd escape the cross, the narrowness of the way. In early days, of course I've got a rebellious heart. I'm no different to you and you're no different to me. When things were crushing in, I seem to remember saying, for the Lord, have you got about everything? Oh, there's this, there's that, there's another, there's so much isn't there. Friends, and it's very solemn when you find the enemy seems to surround you and God has hidden his face and there are the water floods going over your soul and you can't even pray. Can't even pray. See, the Lord knows how to deal with our stagnancy. That we want living waters from him and divine life. Him to save us completely and fully and to pardon our sins and to bless us in our souls. and if it can prepare us for glory. We're so earthbound, left to ourselves. I hope you can receive some of the things I'm trying to say. I say them in love, my friends, to precious souls. But I dare not lie. I expect Esau enjoyed his life. Sure he did. He took his own wives, and that was a grief to Isaac. But poor Jacob, my friends, being prepared for glory. You say, well, he was such a sinner, but Esau lived in unbelief all his life. And he died in his sins. Though no doubt he was the industrious person, a man of the field, and he was the provider for the family. And at first I expect Isaac, he's of course the eldest son, and has the birthright and the inheritance, of course, and this is where the seed of promise shall be. And of course he's a man of industry, so our needs will be supplied. Oh, the sovereignty of God. Oh, friend, I believe if you've got oil in your lamp, you'll be brought to tremble at the sovereignty of God. But you'll prove him a most merciful Father, full of loving kindness and truth. He makes a way where there is no way for his people, because he brings them to himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life. What a favour to be born again of the Spirit. It's not your actings, your goodwill, which were born not of the will of man, or the will of the flesh, or of blood, but of God. And you see, friends, they're made wise to seek to shelter forever. You know, the Lord knows your exercise here today and your longings in your soul. Now, you may be in different places, you see. Notice in the parable, the kingdom of heaven is given in several talents. The Lord didn't give a less reward to the man with two talents than he gave to five talents. Oh, the Lord gave them the same blessing. He's a sovereign in what he bestows, but he will look for fruit. And notice in the ministerings to Christ, the inasmuch, in the third parable, inasmuch that you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And as much he did not minister to these, he did not minister to me. That sets forth the real springing forth of truth and grace in the earth. Obviously, we should love our neighbour as ourselves, and all Christian believers should do good works to all mankind. But so many make a righteousness out of it. I was thinking driving along the M25 through Essex, the lower part of Essex. This morning, you know, just looking at the rainbow, beautiful rainbow, promise of God that the earth will not be drowned again, and the seasons will continue, in spite of what modern political scientists might say. The seasons will continue till the end of time. But in pondering that rainbow, oh, I thought of that rainbow around his throne, as an emerald, fresh and green, oh, alive with promise, alive with mercy. Oh, there's a freshness with the Almighty, you know. And I thought of him as my righteousness. And it struck me in thinking, of course, of these parables. You know, my works are not my righteousness. Good works will show that the Lord is your righteousness, inasmuch as you've done it the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Love to Christ and his cause. We should do good unto all men, but especially the household of faith, to love as brethren. You see, and the root is this, because you see Christ in them. Christ in them. And as a poor man, you want Christ formed in your own heart. Now, there will be good works, but they are done in an unostentatious way, not with boasting and open show. The widow cast more into the treasury than the rich men, because she cast in all her substance. Oh, the vital thing, my friends, is to be found fruitful. And the way of fruitfulness is only by divine life in your soul, to bring forth fruit unto eternal life. And you know, when we get stagnant in our soul, where's the fruitfulness? So the Lord, you see, in that other parable of the fig tree, he looks and you see there's no fruit. Oh, he says, hew it and cut it down, but the labourer said, oh, spare it yet, and let us dig about it and dung it, and see if it brings forth fruit. If it does, good. But if not, then we'll hew it down. And I believe the Lord brings his afflicted and poor people down to his feet, praying for sparing mercies and reviving mercies and everlasting mercies and redeeming mercies unto glorious eternity. You need the Lord in every step of your journey, and you need the Lord in every part of your life. And the psalmist knew it himself. Oh, spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. He was a poor man. In many ways, he's one of the most valiant in the scriptures. What a mighty man of war he was. And what a leader he was of the people, the wisdom given to him and the understanding and the skill to lead that people, Israel, and to pass safely through so many things. But it was not his skill or ingenuity. He tells us the secret of all his success and redemption at last in Psalm 34. This poor man cried. So he was a mighty warrior and a valiant man and a most godly man, and he was king over God's people. But what was he in the sight of God, what he knew himself to be? This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him, grace, grace, and saved him out of all his troubles. Well, and five of them were wise. Now, one or two things I must come to the Lord helping me. If we're wise, there's a real begging. A begging at the throne of grace. Oh, there's a real cry from the heart. Lord, have mercy on me, bless me. You realize your need of being kept and preserved. You see, there's a solemn realization of the plague within which I was touched upon at the beginning. Friends, we'll be a sinner to our dying day. You say, surely not. This is the sense I mean it. You'll have a nature of sin to your dying day. And so will I. And what do we need? Grace. Grace. Only grace and its superaboundings can quell, subdue, subjugate. Only grace can make us soft and tender. And it's that secret grace that is the oil in the vessel. There will be a mourning in your houses apart. There will be a godly sorrow with us. Meditating, thinking yesterday, I mustn't speak too personally, I know, but you know, I felt such a longing for that repentance unto life. Friends, it's a godly sorrow for our sin. It's what we know ourselves to be in the sight of him who is so good to us. It's a sense of his goodness and his mercy that really breaks our heart in this, that our iniquities were laid. Oh, this breaks a man. Yeah, but he's still got the sinnership. So I believe while you have a sinnership and I have a sinnership, we should be mourners all our days, my friends, over our sins and after a precious Christ. There'll be a real hungering and thirsting after righteousness, the life of the Lord Jesus in you. And that you may be a true partaker of his righteousness. In this, the Lord may bless you and apply and impute his righteousness to your spirit, to the comfort of your own heart. You might know you are in him, and it will be well at last. You see, my friends, there will be a true coming. You'll be a comer to the throne of grace, as well as a mourner. And there will be a fighting. I know there are plenty of fights in Zion, my friends, but they're not good fights. Oh, some people can fight, be careful what I say, but some can fight over many, many things. But, you know, one with oil in his lamps, they go forth to meet the bridegroom. Isn't that a serious matter, to make profession that we're seeking a better country, my friends? And you know, we start fighting when people wound our pride, or tread on our toes, or talk down on us, or threaten us. Old nature immediately rises to get its own back. But I believe, oh, if we have that oil of grace, the blessed comfort of not leaving to us to ourselves will sanctify and put a restraining hand, and will whisper in the heart, now, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Ah, wait alone upon your God. The gospel injunction of Emmanuel is that we should pray for our enemies. Bless them which persecute us and curse us. Not to return the cursing, but contrary, blessing. Oh, why to pray that the Lord may show them their true state. Give them to see their own need, reprove them for their own sins, and bring them to his feet and bless them. And that we ourselves also should be forgiven for all our sins and all our trespasses. This is what the oil of grace should do for us, shouldn't it? But I believe by this grace we're made to feel our leanness, that we may be sensible in seeking unto living waters, and to seek to tap by faith that ocean fullness, that we may overcome, to stand every storm and live at last, to really get in. Now the oil of grace will humble us. Humble us. To make us to realise all that we possess is what he has kindly given to us. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Grace taught our heart to fear in the beginning. Grace brought us to tremble at our true state. Grace opened our eyes to behold and to see there is a blessed one who stands between, and grace has fed our souls these many years. Grace removes the burden. Grace raises up the hope. And grace sees a needs be in the trying of faith, that we may be fruitful in the land. As we know, and I've alluded to the manner and to the waters, you see now, you let a fruit tree go, and it runs out in many branches. And though there may be some fruit, it's not very good fruit. It's small and scabbed and so on. But in a fruit tree is indeed attended to by an expert hand year by year. So there's a tendency to good fruit. This is what grace will do in the trying of our faith. Look at the scripture characters, whether it's Jonah, or David, or Jacob, or Jeremiah, or the apostles. We haven't time to enumerate on them, but you see, friends, how their faith was tried. It was part of the salvation of their soul. In this exercise, oh, they longed to touch the hem of his garment. Oh, they drew near. And you mark it, how the Lord blessed each one and delivered each one eventually, brought them safely through. Oh, they had the life of God in the soul. And that is by grace. And you know, with the life of God in our souls, we we give him the glory. Well, we have a solemn word which I'm thinking about closing now. You know, he says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now notice their foolishness was not discovered. This is very solemn, you know, till the end. They were never searched out. They never really went on their knees under trial and temptation, oh, being dismayed at what they saw within their own breast, and mourned and wept before the Lord and cried for deliverance. Ah, they never knew that pathway. They never seemed to need fresh supplies of grace. Ah, but seemed to go on in their own confidence until the end. Their religion failed them. That's a solemn matter, you know. Oh, I believe, dear child of God, that's something that makes you tremble about yourself. Oh, will you be found a counterfeit at last? How you want the Lord to settle now and to visit you and to keep you and to preserve you unto his everlasting kingdom. We feel our need of the Lord to still deal with us graciously, not leave us to ourselves, otherwise we should make shipwreck of faith. Remember Percy Laver once saying, and the old man used to speak like this, they're much blunter and more plainer in those days than this modern polite age. He used to say, if the Lord left me to take the last step into heaven myself, I'd never take it. That's when you know what your own nature's like. You want the Lord to be with you, gird you with an everlasting strength, to enable us to overcome by faith. Ah, says the apostle, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's that everlasting love that will perform, make a way for you. That everlasting love has provided a robe of righteousness. An everlasting love laid down his own life and shed his vital blood. An everlasting love has ascended. For God is love in the glorious presence of his dear Son. And he reigns there, all with his ear open, hearing the bleatings of his sheep, the cries of the poor and needy, beholding the weepings of his confessing people. And he reads your longing heart. And so he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he says, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy, which I gave you by my Spirit, as a secret in your soul, like that white stone, which no man knew, saving he that receiveth it, had a new name written in it. Ah, the name of everlasting love and mercy to a poor, needy sinner. Ah, my friends, he lives, he reigns, to gather these people safely. And if you've got the root of the matter, my friend, and if I've got the root of the matter, we need his mighty hand to gather us. Oh, as Jacob said, the angel who redeemed me out of all evil, bless the lad. Oh, he knew what he had passed through. And therefore, my friends, his whole desire was, as he confessed to Noah, as few and evil have been his, to Pharaoh, few and evil have been his days. Ah, but he knew that covenant. May the Lord bring us to his blessed feet. Well, I think of that hymn we had, and then I'll close. Just now, 956. I felt rather tried. Most beautiful hymn, I thought, oh dear, my poor preaching this morning won't be so full of the gospel, really, but concerning your case, the bad you feel and know yourself to be, he says, in Newton, raise thy downcast eyes and see, numbers do his throne surround, these were sinners once like thee, but a full salvation, yield not then to unbelief. Oh, there's forgiveness with him, there's help laid upon him, who is mighty, exalted out of the people. So, yield not then to unbelief, courage soul there, yet is room. Though sinners thou art chief, come thou, burdened sinner come. For the Lord says, he'll never send any away that come to him. I know it's years of coming. Oh, there's a waiting. The Lord doesn't always answer immediately. He tries our faith, he draws out prayer, he brings repentance, my friends, and he brings us to his blessed feet, but I'll never send you away. How does that go? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So with oil in our vessel you will be found a poor coming sinner. But the covenant is, you will find. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, bless that which has been true, and of the Holy Ghost. O make us come as Lord. Do confirm that we're thine, that we have the root of the matter, Lord, for we need thee much. So follow with thy blessing, and pardon anything spoken wrongly. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £769, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Woodhouse is expected to preach on Friday evening with a collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society, and Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day. And our friends at Fenstanton hold their prayer meeting for the nation on Thursday evening. Hymn 1149. What think you of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. Ye cannot be right in the rest, unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath are your lot. 1149.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.